We have been looking in the past several weeks at what I have called We Are Alike, Brother Saint. There are only seven common traits that you will find among Christian believers. That is, there are only seven ways that all Christians are exactly alike. We come out of the same mold only seven ways. That is, if you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, then there are seven things, and probably only seven, that we will agree on 100%, irregardless of what denomination you might belong to. So this morning we're going into the third or the fourth thing that we will agree on. We will agree on, first of all, that there is one hope, and that being that we want to be like Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you have that hope. Secondly, we have one Lord. There's only one person that we feel should be allowed to wear the crown and sit on the throne, and we believe that that is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the one hope. We believe in the one Lord. This morning we're going to take up the other thing that we'll be alike in, and that is the one body. And you remember we find all this information in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, where Paul is trying to tell the church how they are going to be able to maintain harmony among the members. That is, how can the Christians get along with each other and stay in union without great discord and division and animosity? And so Paul says, dwell upon the seven common things. And then he begins to list in Ephesians 4 these seven things that we're alike in. And this morning, one of those seven is the one body. If you're a part of the Christian family, then that family makes up the one body. One time a missionary visited a pastor of a church and he asked for financial support for the work he was doing. The pastor did not know him and asked him, well, what group are you associated with? And the man said, I belong to the invisible church. Well, he said, what church are you a member of? And the man again said, I belong to the invisible church. Well, he said, where does this invisible church meet? And then the man was becoming a little bit upset with the pastor, and he said, well, this church is sure not your church, nor your denomination, and it is the true church. I belong to the invisible church. Well, he never could get the man to tell him where his church was and how it functioned. And so here's what he said to him as he asked for money. Well, here is some invisible money to help you minister in the invisible church. Now, in a real sense, the man had the idea right. There is this invisible church. That is, we are talking now about the existence of the one body, with Christ being the head, and all the individual members or parts of the body being the believers located throughout the world. There is no way in the world you'll be able to know everyone who is really a true part of the body of Christ. But everyone who has given their life to Christ, made Him their Savior, that is, made Him their head, made Him their Lord, who has placed Him in control of their life, who has the one hope, that is, that they will be like Jesus Christ, if they have Christ as their Lord and have a desire for the one hope, then truly they ought to be a part of the one body. As to how many people make up the one body, I don't know. How many hairs are on your head? How many blood vessels in your body? How many corpuscles in your blood? I don't know. But all of these individual parts of your body, which probably numbers in the millions, every little cell is a part of your body. So in the real sense, in the church, in the body of Christ, in the one body, there are multitudes of members of which we have no knowledge whatsoever. And yet God knows who is a member of His one body. Now, when Paul talks about the one body, he is not talking about denominationalism. I know that might upset some people, but I do not believe anywhere in the Bible it says that you have to be a part of one denomination to be a part of the one body. In a real sense, the one body is invisible, being we cannot see outwardly who belongs and who does not belong. In the church, in the Bible, the body, which is, of course, the church, is referred to by many different names. In Timothy, the body is just called the believers. In Colossians, it's called the church. In Revelation, the body is called the Lamb or the Bride of the Lamb. In Peter, the body is called the royal priesthood. In Romans, the body is called the joint heirs with Christ. In Hebrews, the body is called the partakers of the heavenly calling. In Peter, the body is called the chosen generation. In Ephesians, the body is called the family of God. In Philippians, the body is called just simply the saints. And there are other references where the body is called the people of God, where the body is called the saved, where the body is called the redeemed. There are many names or titles given to the body. But there is no denomination that contains all of the members of the body to the exclusion of other denominations. What makes one a part of the one body is to have Christ as their Lord and Savior and have as their hope to be like Jesus Christ. In Romans 12:5, Paul said, let's go to verse 4. For we have many members in the one body, and all the members are not alike, do not have the same function, just like in your human body. Then he says, so we being many in parts are yet one body in Christ. And every one members one of another. In other words, all the bodily members are united together, joined together, and there is union and unity in the body, just as there is in your body. There are many functions, there are many positions, there are many values set up on the various parts of the body. I want to say this, if you get nothing else out of this morning's message, there is no such thing as a nobody in the one body. I want to say that again. There is no such thing as a nobody in the one body. But all of the members of the body of Christ, all participants in the one body, don't have the same function. Some may act as a tongue and they speak. And some may act as a heart and they do works of mercy. There are many functions of the members of the body of Christ. Not all have the same position. Then not all will receive the same honor. You give more honor to your eye than you do your hair. You give more honor to your ear than you do to your fingernail. And yet this is not to say your fingernail is unwanted, undesired, unloved, uncared for, unneeded. And so there's more honor given to certain members of the body of Christ, but yet this is only in the sense of its role in serving Christ. I believe God looks upon the body as being equal in value in all parts. There is no such thing as a nobody in the one body. And I don't believe God says, well, now you're something great to one part of the body of Christ, to one Christian, and then goes to another, well, you're just trivial and insignificant and your little part doesn't really matter. I believe in the eyes of God, the creator of the one body, every individual, single, solitary member of the body of Christ holds equal importance in the eyes of the Father. We are all a special creation of the Holy Spirit, taking just as much time on every one of us as the other. The Holy Spirit does not make any junk. And everything the Holy Spirit makes of you as a Christian is a work of art. We sometimes allow the flesh to get into the picture, and we begin to say, well, I'm more important than you. I'm a super saint, and you're a fizzle saint. God thinks I am very important, and you're very unnecessary. That's the way you have arguments. That's the way you have disharmony. We are to look upon each other as being a part of the one body. I'll guarantee you the parts of your body that may seem trivial and unimportant, you let that part get hurt. You just pull one little old hair out of your arm, and immediately you begin to realize, hey, that little part's important. You leave that little old hair alone. I want that little hair. I want that hair to stay there, and you quit pulling on it. You see, every part of our body is important to us when something threatens that part of us. Now, we need to give the same kind of value and consideration to every individual member of the whole body, with Christ being the head. We need to start thinking of our fellow believers as being a living part. They're connected to me. They're connected to you. They're a living part of the whole body. Now, you'll do that. You'll treat other people just like you treat that little old hair on your arm. You'll treat it very kindly. Have you ever snagged your fingernail? My, how you begin to protect it and watch over it and hope it doesn't crack any further into the quick. You see, if we would begin to see our brothers and sisters in Christ as a part of the body, then we would treat them accordingly. When you have this kind of attitude, concern is easy. It's not hard to be concerned about a torn fingernail. Before that, you may not give any thought whatsoever. But in this life, it's easy to be tender with the brothers and sisters because they're a part of the body. We can't do without each other. You know, it's a tragic thing when you see a person who's lost his finger or lost his arm. We don't want to do without these parts of our body. And in the Christian faith, every one of us is important to the other. Away with this idea, well, we don't need you. Good riddance of bad rubbish. Listen, folks, when God made you a child of God, He made you an inseparable, important, vital, essential part of the body. We can't just say away with you, we don't need you. That's like saying away with the finger, I don't need you. Oh, you can get along without the finger. There's no doubt about that. The church can survive without an active member. But it's sure going to be crippled. There's sure going to be things that it can no longer do. Now, as you think of the other Christians in the light of being a connected part of your body, it's just natural to comfort people that are hurt. I mean, if you slammed a hammer on your thumb, it's real simple to give that thumb comfort and tender love and care. It's no problem at all. We must begin to look upon each other as a part of the one body and treat them when they are hurt just like you would when you hurt yourself. It's easy to be patient. You get a splinter in your finger. My, how patient you are trying to get that splinter out. You just don't go in there helter-skelter and whack, whack, whack and pull it and jerk. Man, you are very cautious. Now, if we are a part of the one body, we ought to be able to have patience with the parts of the body that are having problems. They've got splinters in their lines. It's simple to give sympathy in a situation like that. It's simple to have understanding. It's natural to be forgiving. I mean, if your finger accidentally pokes you in the eye, you don't go around stomping on your finger. You don't get all the rest of your body and a little group and say, listen, now we're going to have to get revenge on old finger over there. You forgive your finger. Now, this is the way the one body is supposed to function. When Paul talks about we have one body, he's saying there are many, many members in the body of Christ, and they all are to serve a function of looking after each other. We must treat the parts of our body, that meaning the Christian believers, as we would treat ourselves and want ourselves to be treated. Now, if you went to the grocery store and you went shopping in the vegetable section, if you're like most folks, you're going to look, especially around tomatoes now, you're going to look for the cream of the crop. And if there's one that's a little bit soft or has a dark spot or seems to be old and wrinkled or there seems to be a bruise or a blemish, you'll reject it. I don't want that old tomato. Now, what if God did that You know, there wouldn't be any parts, really, to make up the body. Now, God does not skip the dirty and the starving and the lonely and the disfigured and the crippled and the unwanted and the sick and the bruised and the troubled and even the troublesome. The brown, the black, the yellow, the white. You see, when God goes shopping for parts of the body, that's the only kind of parts He can find is what you and I would reject. So all of us, in a real sense, had something about us when God first saw us that would cause us to be culled and rejected, and we would not qualify to be a part of the body. And yet when God saved us, He put value upon us. And now we are essentially needed one by the other. We have no right to go around culling out Christians because maybe we don't like their position or what they have to offer or their drawbacks. God has built His church and His body out of unprofitable parts, but He's made them profitable. He's made them profitable. And that's where the one Spirit comes in, which we haven't talked about yet. But you see, the blueprint of God as He puts all the parts together, He designs that all division shall be eliminated. Because He does a work on every one of the Christians that makes that person presentable as a trophy of God's redeeming grace. You are something tremendous. When God gets through with you, where man would cull you, God has transformed you. And no Christian has a right to pride and say, I am superior. Listen, God made all of us equal in His sight. I'm just as important as you are, and you're just as important as I am in the body. There's no place for pride, and if you have pride, you'll cause division and disharmony in the church. There is no place for a man to say, I am superior to you. You are not superior to me nor any other Christian. You are not superior. The only superior one is the one Lord. And you're just a part of the one body. I'll say you are superior, but you're going to have to qualify that and say on the same basis that every other Christian is also likewise superior. And that is a result of the creative work of God. Then there's no room for jealousy among the body either. I am inferior. That's what, you know, oftentimes causes Christians to get upset one with the other. Well, they get jealous. Listen, brother, if you're a Christian and sister, you are not inferior. Not in your total makeup, not in your place, not in your function. That's where God puts you. That's the thing God made you for. Don't have a quarrel if God made you a little toe. I mean, that's what God wanted to do. And God said, that little toe is just as important as the big thumb or the eye. You are not inferior. You have an inferiority complex. That didn't come from the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from God. If you have a trivial job that people say is trivial in the church, listen, it's not trivial in God's eye. Again, we let the flesh get into the church and we say, well, this is the big job and little rinky-dinky job. Listen, folks, in the body, every job is a big job. And that's where we get division when everybody begins to say, well, I got the better job and this is a big office and way down the hall down there in the cellar is the other guy's. And listen, there's no such thing as a cellar job in the Lord's work. It was the Corinthian church that had great division. You can read the first several chapters and see this. It was a church where competition was fierce, where people were dividing others up into first, second, third, and fourth class Christians. They were rating each other. They were not rating each other on spirituality, being like Jesus, but they're rating each other on the matter of their function and their gifts and their ability to show off and to have positions in the church. And so they were saying that people with certain jobs and certain gifts were superior, and those with other jobs were inferior. And Paul wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians to correct this kind of thinking. That'll bust the church up. That'll bust the friendship up. Now, we are given a function in the body, and I believe God gifts the fingernail to serve as a function. It makes it's skin, it makes it very hard. God functions or gives certain parts of the spiritual body functions. They're not given to us for show off, to make us proud, for personal gratification, not even for entertainment. They're not given to us to even make comparisons one with another. You see, God gives unto us a place in the body of Christ whereby we will serve the other members of the body. My little toe serves the whole entire body. It serves my hand, it serves my leg, it serves all parts of my body. To the smallest little hair, my little toe serves all the parts of the body. And so every Christian has been designed by the Holy Spirit to show forth love for the other parts of the body. To be a functioning, ministering, caring, helping, sustaining, edifying influence on the remainder of the body. Now that is your purpose and that is your function as a Christian. We are, in the one body, servants, Jesus said. Well, who are we going to serve? To always serve the Lord. Well, who is the Lord's body? You know, we think of service, well, I have to go out and go to the mission field. That's service. Brethren, any time you help another member of the body, you are being a servant. We are in the body, tied together, united, so that we can care for each other. If you take and cut your finger off, it's no longer a caring part of the body. No longer can it minister the body. That's the sad thing about a person that doesn't go to church. It's like a person that cuts his finger. Now, how is that person going to minister to the body of Christ when they have cut themselves off and hide themselves away somewhere else, some lake or some other place, and they don't get around the body and they don't associate with the body of Christ anymore, and they have separated themselves? How on earth can that person be a ministering, edifying, helping part of the body? That's just like cutting a finger off and throwing it out in the garbage can. If you cut yourself off, you're no longer functioning as a part of the one body. You see, that's the problem with division. It upsets the whole harmony of the body of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to stop in these seven things we're alive. Brethren, if you begin to punish the body and disrupt it and block off parts of the body, it's in real trouble. And I'm afraid today the church has gotten itself in this state. We're casting away parts of the body we ain't got no business messing with. And people are dropping out of the church when they ought to be in the church. There's too much divisive spirit in the church today. That means there's too many people going around chopping off members of the body. If you isolate yourself from the body of Christ, well then what good are you to the body? I mean, well, how can you minister to me? How can I minister to you if I cut myself off from the body of Christ and you cut yourself off? Now, we must see ourselves as a part of the one body. We must see that. We must comprehend that. You should go around saying, listen, you want a new pen to put on your lapel? Everybody likes lapel pens. Here's one for you. I am God's gift to you. Now, that's not said in pride or arrogance. It's honest truth. I am God's gift to you. If you say it in humility, it's the truth. I need you. Just like the finger needs the hand. I need you. But I might add, you need me. You see, I am God's gift to you. And you're God's gift to me.
but only if you'll function. If you wrap yourself up in a cask or you cut yourself off, you know, you're no longer God's gift to me. You're not helping me. And I can't help you. You can't edify me. You can't uplift me. You can't encourage me. You can't strengthen me. And when you get like that, what good are you to the body? Brethren, we are one body. Let's cut out all this rivalry. Let's go around looking for opportunities to say, hey, I'm God's gift to you, and I want to minister to you. I want to help you. I'll do what God has given me the ability to do. It's important that you learn what you can do and what you can't, you know. I don't want to say, the toe might come to me and say, hey, listen, I'll get that splinter out of your, or that speck out of your eye. Well, I say, I appreciate that, Mr. Toe, but let me get somebody a little bit more qualified. I think it's important for you to pray the Holy Spirit to lead you to know what you can do and minister in the area where you are qualified and God has placed you. It's so important that you do that. You sometimes you can get yourself in a mess, and you might bring harm to the body by trying like a toe to clean out the eye. You know, it won't work, even no matter how much you care. But learn the area of your ministry and minister in that area. You are needed in the body. You are able to bless people through the Holy Spirit's empowerment and guidance of your life. You see, there is a place for you in the one body to be a minister, ministering to the rest of the body. What a mess the church can get in. What a mess the body would get in if every little old part decided it wanted to demand its own way and forgot about being ministered. And just think about it just a second. We'll close with this. What if I said, listen now, I want to read a book right now. Right now. And the hand says, listen, I want to play the piano right now. And the foot said, I want to jog around the block right now. And the ear said, I want to listen to the radio right now. And the knee said, I want to jump rope right now. And the mouth said, I want to eat an apple right now. Now, how on earth can all those parts of your body do all those things right now? See, well, it can't. That's right. Somebody is going to have to give in to somebody else. And the point is, we as the body of Christ need to understand what is the mission and the goal and the plan of God for our life. Some things are going to have to give. And you can't always have your own way. But the point is, you can always minister. And since we're all part of the one body, whatever you do, I'm going to help you do it anyway. I'm a part of it. And whatever credit can come to you can come to me too. I hope that you'll take serious this coming week of practicing being a part of the one body.